Blog Talk Radio.
Dylan drives the Dow Chevrolet, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, home of the 2.66-mile monster Talladega Super Speedway, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big show tonight, folks, and let's go ahead and get it started with Guy Reverend from out there in Riverside, California. Mr. Reverend Joe, let's bring him on, let him do the invocation. We'll get everything going. Let's bring Mr. Reverend Joe into The Pit Stop. With Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend Joe, how are you doing tonight, bud?
Good, Tim. How are you doing? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yes, sir, it is. I'm doing a little I'm doing a lot better. My head cold is going away a little bit. You can probably still cut in my voice, but I'm going to make it. good Lord's willing, the creek don't rise, brother.
There you go. Let's get this thing started. Lord,
yes, sir.
We come before you today. And we thank you so much, Lord, for all you do for us. We want to start off first by praying for all those people in Nepal that are suffering from these two earthquakes, and also just see right now on the news there's another one in Japan. And we ask you, please, Lord, to help all these people and help all those people who are trying to rescue them and help them through this tough time. We also ask you to please protect all of our soldiers and all of our people that are over there trying to help. We also ask your blessings today on all those involved in auto racing, our favorite sport. Watch over them. Help them this weekend. Give us good racing. Bless our show tonight. And never let us forget that you sent your son to the cross to die for our sins, so through him we could have eternal salvation. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe. You want to throw out there where everybody can follow you at on social media, bud, and your website?
Yes, sir. OnTrackWithJesus.org is our website, and OnTrackWithJesus@AOL.com is my email. Phone number is 951-232-7630. I'm glad to hear from all of you. I've been loving all the friend requests we've been getting through the program and people out there we've been chatting with. And don't forget, Tim, next week you're on your own because I've got surgery next Monday. So I'll be laid up Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm not going to get out of the hospital until Wednesday or Thursday. And then they're telling me, I don't know, I'll still be able to get to the phone and call you after that. But I won't be able to be on Tuesday because I'll be still probably in La La Land.
Yeah, I know how it is after surgery. I've had back surgery, shoulder surgery, and everything else too, Reverend. Yeah. I'm glad you reminded me. I mentioned something to my IT guy at work here at Coosa Valley Electric in Talladega, Mr. John Thornton. He's going to fill in for you. So we've got it covered. That way I don't have to keep reading the Lord's Prayer before we had you. But, yeah, Reverend Joe, thank you again. And may God bless you and everything come through your surgery and everything okay. We'll be thinking about you, brother. We'll be praying for you.
And does Amanda on tonight?
Miss Coors Light.
Yeah.
Yes, she's coming on at the bottom of the hour. Stephen got Miss Coors Light. She will be on at the bottom of the hour. You want me to put you back in mute where you can listen, Reverend?
No, I'll just tell her I said hello. I met her on the West Coast Swing. Rachel, her predecessor, was a longtime friend of mine, and got to spend some time with both of them when they were out here on the West Coast Swing. So just give her my best.
Yes, sir, I will too, Reverend. And again, like I said, you'll be in our prayers, and I'll check up with you after you have your surgery next week, bud. Thanks again for being our reverend.
Thank you. Be talking to you soon.
Talk to you later, bud. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was our reverend, Mr. Reverend Joe from Riverside, California. At this time, I want to bring my good friend, CEO, SpeedwayDigest.com, the one and only from Richmond, Virginia, Mr. Stephen Wilson. I can get the button.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing all right. It's like 90 degrees up here, and I'm trying to stay out of the heat. It sounds like you're feeling a little bit better than you were last week.
Yes, sir. I'm feeling a lot better than I was last week, and thank you very much for covering my back last week. And it's a little bit warm here, too, but I want to bring up something. Now, you know, you had mentioned about the cold and wanting the heat, and now you're complaining about the heat, Stephen. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, we were just talking to Suzanne just here a second ago, and she had a good point. We totally skipped out of spring and went straight into summer because that's the way it was up here, too. I mean, we went from all that cold weather right into this 85, 90-degree weather, and I don't typically mind the heat. It's just the humidity that comes along with it up here in Virginia that just really gets at you.
Yeah, I know. Whenever y'all come down here for the fall race here in October, it's going to be the humidity down here is just as bad, but you want to go ahead and get everything started? Because I know you've got Miss Coors Light and Miss Kentucky 2012 coming on at the bottom of the hour, and I was trying to think a minute. I'll go ahead and start off with the NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series, Stephen, if that's okay, then we'll throw you over into the Cup Series. Race number four. Excuse me. Kansas Speedway, the 15th annual Toyota Tundra 250 for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Matt Crafton won the 15th annual Toyota Tundra 250, his seventh victory in 342 NASCAR Camping World Series races. This is his second victory and fourth top 10 finish in 2015. This is his second victory and seventh top 10 finish in 15 races at Kansas Speedway. Ryan Newman finished second, posted his first top 10 finish in one race. This is his only race he's raced in the NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series. It was at Kansas Speedway. And then Johnny Sauter posted a third place finish. His top 10 finish in seven races at Kansas Speedway. Cameron Haley finished fifth, was the highest finishing rookie. And Matt Crafton leads the point standings by 17 points over Tyler Reddick. You know, Tyler Reddick had that problem there in practice or qualifying or Stephen, if I can, I've got the media center interview with Matt Crafton after he won the race. Here, I'll go ahead and play it. I think Brett from SpeedwayDigest.com might ask him a question. It's a little over 4 minutes, but I'll go ahead and play it, and then we'll roll over into the Cup Series. So here's a Kansas winner, Matt Crafton.
Congratulations. The winner of the 15th annual Toyota Tundra 250 is Matt Crafton, two-time NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion, and also now I think the first only two-time winner here in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series at Kansas. Matt Crafton drives the number 88 Slim Jim Menards Toyota Resource Sports. He's joined by his crew chief, Carl Joyner Jr. Matt, congratulations. Certainly in this sport, you're in this sport long enough, you're going to see a lot of things happen. This was a good outcome here for you tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I said when we took checkered flag, I'd rather be lucky than good sometimes, and we definitely were that tonight. We definitely didn't have the fastest truck. I felt we had the second fastest truck and just lost track position because I had a bad vibration at one point and took four, and a lot of people took two, no tires, and got us back there. But I could catch those guys, but it was super, super tough to pass. But said you got to be close enough to be able to sneak one out every once in a while. Oh, I've lost them on things like this. So every once in a while when you steal one, I don't feel too bad about it.
Absolutely. And you still maintain that points lead, I believe, in the Camping World Truck Series. So congratulations on that. As well, Carl, as you said, you enjoy coming in here and seeing my face. Besides my wife, you might be the only person that says that.
She lies to you, right?
What's that?
She lies to you, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. But congratulations, Carl. Just talk about, you know, as Matt alluded to, you had a fast truck, and, you know, obviously it probably wasn't the fastest truck, but it was the fastest truck at the end that counted. And so you guys had to do something to make it work. Just talk about the last few laps, and as things started transpiring, what your thoughts were.
It was the only one with Sunoco race fuel left in it. That's all that mattered.
Right.
No, I'm just so proud of my guys, Duke and Rhonda Thorson. I felt like we had the second best truck all night. You know, like Matt said, we just lost that track position, and it just kills you here, you know, just like any other place. But I just can't thank Duke and Rhonda Thorson again enough. You know, they give us what we need, and we show up, and we had good speed all weekend. We just missed it a little. The four was really strong, and we were there at the end, and I got all the faith in the world in the guys doing our fuel mileage and all the TRD resources that we use to put us in the position to go for it. And that triad power, you know, we did a test earlier in the week that allowed us to have some data on there and actually tune our motor that probably helped us with the fuel mileage that we had tonight. So I just can't thank everybody enough. Marty Gaunt, you know, our tuner Obed, Mark Green. It's just It was almost comical how they just dropped like flies right there at the end. And I never told Matt that I told him that we couldn't make it. So I didn't want to.
It's good.
I didn't want to show our hand. So it was good. We'll take it. Just like you said, I'd rather be lucky than good.
Good coaching on your part. Let's start with my man there, Brett. I got a question right there. And we'll go up here to the front. Jim Utter's got one.
Brett Wayne, Speedway Digest. Question for both of you. How tough is it, you know, sitting on a pit box, but then also in the driver's seat, knowing that you could run out of fuel at any point and lose the race? So just talk a little bit about that. If you could.
Oh, his job is easy. He just yell at me.
Absolutely. I didn't have any pressure on me. I just needed to go out there and go as fast as I could. And he told me that we couldn't make it, so I just kept going. Said 5 to go, 4 to go, 3 to go. And I'm like, man, when's he going to bring me down? I saw all these guys running out of fuel. You going to bring me down on the white? Nope. All right. I guess we're going for it now. So said my job was easy. I wouldn't want to be in his position and the guys doing the fuel mileage to run the thing out of fuel and be that guy.
You did run out, though, there at the when you were doing your...
No, I was stuck in the damn grass.
Okay.
Because all the water.
So you didn't run out of fuel?
No.
Okay.
I was good to go.
You were good to go. Okay. Very good. Very good. Let's go to your front row right
now. Okay, Stephen, that was a... winner of the NASCAR Camp for World Truck Series, Matt Crafton in the media center with Mr. Kerry Tharp. And if you want to touch on a little bit, you know, they were talking about fuel mileage. Brett asked a really good question. I mean, you know, Eric Jones led for 5 times for 151 laps. And there was no doubt he had the fastest truck, Stephen. And it just come down to strategy.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys up front there, they were coming down to that point where it was just becoming a fuel mileage race. Eric Jones was leading. He lost the he ran out of fuel. Then you had Daniel Suarez right behind him. He ran out of fuel. So you had a lot of guys running up front that had a really good run all night long. Eric Jones, 151 laps, led 5 times out there. He was the guy to beat out there. Matt Crafton, I believe, was probably the second guy, and Ryan Newman. He had a fast truck all night long too. Ryan Newman had some bad luck out there, which he ended up finishing second out there. So, I mean, it's not a bad night for him to be back there in the trucks. But it's just a fuel mileage race out there. A lot of those guys tried to gamble there towards the end to make it, and they didn't succeed, unfortunately.
Yeah, and, you know, that was one race that I got to watch, you know. And I was going to, you know, you were going to talk about the Sprint Cup race there, but we've got our guest on the show. She's popped in here a little bit early, Steve. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on Miss Kentucky 2012 and Miss Coors Light in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. She's the pole lady, and Steve, I'm going to bring her on, and I'm going to let you start out with her. So let's bring Miss Coors Light into the pit stop with Tim and Spanish Stephen Wilson live from Talladega, Alabama.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Amanda, thank you very much for taking the time out to come on our show live from Talladega. Stephen Wilson up there in Richmond, Virginia. How you doing tonight?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. That was a heck of an intro.
Well, thank you very much for anybody that's Miss Coors Light and Miss Kentucky. That's just what we do.
I love it.
Oh, good. Amanda, I'm going to hand you over to Steven, since he was a big part of getting you on the show, and I'll let him throw you back over to me. And you got the floor, Steven, with Miss Coors Light and Miss Kentucky 2012.
Let's do it.
Hey, Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Last year when Coors announced that Rachel would be retiring out there from Miss Coors Light, they put out a nationwide search out there, which they got about 10 people towards the end there. They whittled it down for a nationwide search for this year's Miss Coors Light, which you just took over here just a couple weeks ago at Richmond after going through the season early along with Rachel. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved in NASCAR, what you felt that this would be a good thing for you to get into, to be out there in the spotlight that has come along with this over time.
Yeah. Well, I was born and raised in Kentucky, so I was a NASCAR fan when I was younger. My dad took me to Kentucky Motor Speedway when I was younger, and I was always a NASCAR fan, and I loved it. And I heard about this position through I had an opportunity to shoot with Coors Light for a poster in Daytona 500 in 2011. So I got to go to the Daytona 500. We had hot passes and stuff. And 2011, I started really following NASCAR again and just remembering how much I loved it. Heard about the search a couple months later in December of this year and applied. A couple hundred girls tried out for it. They narrowed it down to the top six, went on NASCAR.com and voted. But, you know, I knew it was the perfect job for me because I live in Nashville right now, and I was a media correspondent before. So I'm very comfortable around people. I'm used to interviewing people. Obviously, part of my job is to interview the drivers now for the Coors Light Pole Award. So I do that. I love sports, and I just knew that as soon as I heard about it, I really wanted this job. It would be a dream job. And now here I am.
And you spent the first 8 weeks or so of the year kind of shadowing the previous Miss Coors Light, Rachel, that kind of took you out there throughout and what exactly goes on throughout the weekend. What you've seen so far, and you've only, this is like your third or fourth week that you've been kind of off on yourself. What's the most overwhelming part about doing this week in and week out throughout the circuit?
Well, I mean, it's overwhelming, but it's a very exciting feeling. You know, it was good to have those 8 weeks with Rachel because it's a lot. I mean, the job is week in, week out to every race, and I had Rachel to help me, show me the ropes. And then I would say that the most overwhelming part was that everyone loved Rachel. She'd been doing the job for 4.5 years. So the biggest pressure was just hoping that everyone liked me, but it was reassuring to know that, you know, the fans on NASCAR.com got me there. So they have been nothing more than welcoming, and it's made my job that much more exciting. But honestly, I'm excited about it. There's nothing that makes me nervous about the job anymore. I'm in week four this weekend in Charlotte, and everything's smooth sailing so far.
And out of the tracks that you've been to so far, and we're about to come up through the summer stretch, and even we're going to get into the chase later on this year, what's some of the best tracks that you've been to so far, and what are the ones that you're most looking forward to being at coming up throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah, Bristol, hands down. I mean, you have 120,000 NASCAR fans, and the smallest track, you know, short track there is. So it's crazy because it's so big, but yet it's so small, and there's not a bad seat in the house no matter where you are. So that was one of the tracks that I've been looking forward to when I was younger, and I got a chance to do that a couple weeks ago, and that's been by far my favorite. Talladega was cool, too. We were just there 2 weeks ago. The experience of Talladega is what makes that so neat. You walk on the boulevard, you see fans everywhere. They're just crazy, and it's a lot. It's an intense action. It's fun, though. Those have been my two favorites so far, but I'm looking forward to Daytona again. I don't know about in my fire suit in July, but I'm looking forward to getting back to Florida.
Well, Amanda, I appreciate you taking the time out. I know that your time is very limited, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. Thanks again. Appreciate it, and good luck throughout the rest of the year.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Stephen. And Amanda, you mentioned a little bit about the big one on the boulevard in your driver's seat. You didn't participate in that barbecue sauce wrestling or nothing here, did you?
I did not. They were actually wanting me to be a judge for it, and at some point,
think I was going to, and then I it wasn't on my schedule when I got there, but I heard all about it. I had actually I missed it, and I was really looking forward to it because I heard that was nuts.
Yeah, well, we didn't get to make it out there, but I was working for Thunder 927. No, ma'am, we didn't get to make it out there, but Suzanne and I, just to ask you one more question. Suzanne and I were going around doing our media stuff here at Talladega, and we noticed every time that we seen you, you know, which we wasn't going to bother you, every time that we seen you, you had somebody, either a family or kids, and, I mean, just people just around you the whole time wanting to take pictures and autographs and stuff like that. Is that constant at each racetrack that you go to, Amanda?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the part of this position is just being like an insight for the fans. So you have a huge fan base following you, and you know what I do? I'm in the middle of action with all the drivers and stuff. So this is a NASCAR fan's dream. So part of my job is just relaying all that information to the fans. So you know, I enjoy that part because I work for the fans. So I love meeting them at the track each week, and I love taking pictures with them. And yeah, that's constant, and I enjoy that. So, and honestly, I think Miss Kentucky helped me with that too, because I was used to that in 2012, and this is just a new job, a new title, but kind of the same role.
Yes, ma'am. Sounds good. And just like Stephen said, I know your time is limited, but do you have time to take a question from one of our callers, Amanda?
Yeah, let's do it. Bring it. Yep.
Okay. This is my good friend from upstate New York, Todd Bigsby, big follower of me, of Stephen and I. His home track is Watkins Glen. Let's bring Todd into the pit stop. Tennis fame, Stephen Wilson, and Miss Coors Light. Amanda works.
Let's get ready to rumble!
I know you do. Todd, come on in here, brother. How's that thing in upstate New York, bud?
Quite windy.
Okay.
We had
Miss Coors Light home. She agreed to take one question. Todd, her time's limited. Would you like to ask Miss Coors Light a question?
Yeah, I do it.
you talked about interacting with the fans, and as you know, Watkins Glen is our home track. Are you going up there?
I will be there. I'll be at every race this season, so I will be there to interact with all the fans. Are you going to be there?
Yeah, we will be there for 4 days, and we go over by the media area. Mm-hmm. And up through where I know you guys walk up through. So when I see you, I will holler to you, and hopefully you'll stop by and see us.
Oh, absolutely. No question. If you can find me, I mean, most people can. I'm out there in a fire seat. A lot of people think I'm Danica, though. So if you can point me out, I will certainly take a picture with you. No problem.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Looking forward to it.
All right, thanks, Todd. I'll put you back in. I started to say something when you said the Danica thing, Amanda, but I bit my tongue. So anyway, Amanda, thank you very much. If you want to throw out there where everybody can follow you at on social media, your website and stuff, we'll give everybody the chance to do that. It comes on the show. You got the floor, sweet.
Yeah, you all get on my Facebook. It's facebook.com/MissCoorsLight and Twitter @MissCoorsLight. So follow me. I tweet all weekend long. We do giveaways all the time, so if you want to keep up with what I'm doing, go for it.
Amanda, thank you very much, and thank you very much for what you do for Coors Light and our big sport of NASCAR.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys, for having me.
You're welcome. Talk at you at the next racetrack I'm at.
Yeah, all right.
See you then. All right, bye-bye. Okay, Stephen, that was Amanda. Miss Coors Light, Miss Kentucky. She knows what she's talking about. She knows a little bit about NASCAR, don't she, bud?
Yeah, sounds like it, so.
Yeah, I know it. And she come on a little bit early, Stephen, and I hated to, you know, I done the cup stuff, but I'm going to hand you over and let you do the Sprint Cup stuff from Kansas, and then I've got the winner's interview from the media center that will play whenever you get ready for it. But go ahead, you got the floor.
Yeah, 11th race of the year out at Kansas Speedway out there in the SpongeBob 400. I know it's a funny name out there, but as I commented to somebody earlier, I mean, it's marketing genius for NASCAR to bring the younger fans into a sport like that and attach a name to it. You know, NASCAR is always looking for the next, you know, next generation of fans out there, and this is a perfect way for them to do it. We got underway out there just after 7 o'clock Saturday night and ran about 98 laps before the rainstorm kicked in. Two hours and 16 minute delay out there before we finally got going back again, right about quarter to 11 to finish this thing up out there. Jimmy Johnson was the eventual winner out there, as third victory this year in 2015 already, and his third victory in 15th top 10 there at Kansas Speedway. Kevin Harvick again, second place. You can't take anything away from him, man. I tell you what, he's been fast since last year. Rodney Childers out there, his crew chief, made a comment on Twitter not too long ago, where this is the 24th event since the number 14 started in 2014 that their car has been taken to the R&D center for NASCAR for teardown after an event. Dale Jr. finished third, Brett Moffitt 34th, your highest finishing rookie. And Kevin Harvick continues to lead the points out there by 46 over Martin Truex Jr., who has had one heck of a season also by himself with a single team running out of Denver, Colorado. So it's something else to get a team that's so far away from NASCAR Nation to be able to run like this. And Front Row Racing hasn't in the past always been the greatest team out there, but they've got this technical alliance now with Richard Childress Racing, which is supplying chassis and engines to them, and they're doing one heck of a job out there all by themselves with that technical alliance.
Stephen, you bring up a very good point. Correct me if I'm wrong. Alan Kulwicki was a owner single car team that won the championship back in the day. I mean, it's sort of try to explain to everybody, our listeners and stuff, just how hard it is to be a single car team like Martin Truex Jr. I mean, you know, just anybody that don't have this that's not associated with your Hendricks, your Gibbs, your Ralph Shakes, I mean, all that stuff. It's very tough to be a single car team and make it in the sport nowadays.
Well, it's a huge investment these days with the technology and the engineering that goes into these cars. That these teams that are out there, they're multi-car teams. You take a Hendricks or a Roush or a Penske organization out there that can afford to buy the best engineers that are on the market. They have the ability to buy the best technology that's on the market. So a single car team out there these days, you got them. You also got Levine Family Racing out there. They're a single car team. And there's a few others out there, but every single one of them has no choice but to align themselves with a bigger organization. Front Row Racing has aligned themselves with Richard Childress Racing. Levine Family Racing has a technical alliance with Penske. And this is a knowledge sharing, as well as being able to buy chassis from them, engines from them, and things of that nature. But it's a huge undertaking for a team that doesn't have somebody else like a Hendricks, because when they go to the track, they've got four teams out there taking notes, four separate teams that are able to put these things together and get the best finishes out of the entire organization as a whole. It's a lot of knowledge between those teams that they're able to share. And the technical backgrounds that these teams are able to get, it really helps these guys out there. But, you know, being a single team out there, you don't have the resources that maybe a mega team does. I know Levine Family Racing, which has a technical alliance with Penske, only has something like 14 or 15 people running that team out there in the shop, whereas you've got somebody like Hendricks that has several hundred people out there. So to be able to do that is amazing with Martin Truex. He's an excellent driver. He's very good at what he's done over the years, being in the old Busch series going way back in the day and coming back over. He's been with Michael Waltrip Racing. So he's a guy that knows how to get out there. I believe Martin Truex is the guy that you're going to have to watch there all season long. He may not win a race, but he's going to be the Ryan Newman this year that's going to lock himself into that chase without the virtue of a win, most likely.
Amen, Stephen. That's exactly what I was thinking. And before we get carried off on talking and carrying on and stuff, I want to play Jimmy Johnson's interview in the media center at Kansas Speedway this past weekend with Mr. Kerry Tharp, and then we'll talk a little bit about what him and Chad Knast talked about. So we're going to play Jimmy Johnson's interview after his win at Kansas Speedway in SpongeBob SquarePants 400.
Winning crew chief Chad Knast has joined us, and Chad, congratulations on this win tonight here at Kansas Speedway. Your 73rd victory here at with Jimmy Johnson in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. I believe it's your all's 200th top five and your 300th top 10. Outstanding job here at Kansas, and you pulled that one out there at the end. Just talk about how things unfolded and went out there here this evening for you.
Yeah, goodness, it was very unexpected to be here right now. Obviously, I think that we had a little bit of good. I think we had a little bit of good fortune on our side for sure. The weekend wasn't turning out or developing the way that we would have liked it to for sure. Excuse me. But, you know, the good thing about this team is that it always strives to do better. And we worked really hard on the race car after qualifying to figure out what we needed to do to try to get the car better for Jimmy. We had some really tight conditions on Friday. And, well, we did a really good job of fixing that because we didn't really...
Yes, no sign of tight all night.
We weren't tight at all tonight. So, unfortunately, we couldn't really get the car back where we needed to. And, obviously, Jimmy... Almost lost it there early on in the event and did a fantastic job saving the race car. And then the guys, man, we just got to work. The guys just executed flawlessly on pit road. We made a significant amount of changes to the race car from ride height changes to chassis changes to air pressure changes to pit calls and strategy and so on and so forth. And to be able to come out of here tonight with the victory was a lot of fun. A lot of hard work by a lot of great people that put us here tonight.
Thank you, Chad. And Jimmy Johnson, your 73rd Sprint Cup Series win, your third win in 2015, your third win at Kansas. And as I was mentioning to Chad before you came in, it's your 200th top five in the Sprint Cup Series and your 300th top 10. Outstanding numbers. And just talk about this win here tonight. You know, obviously you made the right call there at the end, and your car was good, and you had to overcome some things, as Chad was talking about, too. So this one has to feel pretty good, coming on Mother's Day, too, because this race actually ended on Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's amazing. I thought my wife might have been asleep, and then I caught her on FaceTime in Victory Lane, and she was not so happy to be on FaceTime and other people looking in the phone. So,
did you really?
Yep. Yeah. I hit the button, and I meant to call, and it did FaceTime, and she answered it. I think the signal went out, or she hung up on me, one of the two. So, but yes, finishing on Mother's Day is very sweet, and first of all, you know, shout out to all the moms, my mom, and then certainly Chandra for Mother's Day, and I'm going to take that trophy home to my kids and see what their response is tomorrow or today with that trophy. But tonight, I mean, I feel like we had a good car. As we got to the front and got out of the turbulent air and traffic, our car just got faster and faster, and, you know, I really feel like we were a top two or three car, but I didn't have enough time up there in the top two or three to know where I stood against the 78 and the 4. But we gambled with our pit call and had just enough time to get to the finish line before the 4 on his new tires could get to us. So just well played. And you know, in some ways, we fought really hard to get to victory lane, but, you know, it's fun to win one gambling. We haven't really gambled before and won, so not to my knowledge. So it feels a little different and pretty cool to have that come together.
Steve, that was the interview right there at Kansas Speedway in the media center with Kerry Tharp and Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knast. I think Jimmy Johnson might have a golden horseshoe stuck you know where again this year, bud. Between him and Kevin Harvick, I think it's going to be them two.
Yeah, I think the third win of the season already. I mean, we're 11 races into the season, and Jimmy Johnson, here he is with three wins. You know, but he's still trailing behind second place Martin Truex by 2 points in the standings in third. And so it's you know, he's another guy we're going to have to keep watching out for this year, but you have to watch for Jimmy Johnson every year. And statistically, the way that we've always looked at Jimmy Johnson is that whenever there's a chase, a change made to the chase, Jimmy Johnson has not always had the most stellar year in the first year of that change. It always seems like Chad Knauf and Jimmy have to adapt to that change. And this year already, I think we've already seen that with him, but he's going to have a tough, tough time really getting past Kevin Harvick, because Harvick is on the ball week in and week out. Stuart Haas has that team put together really, really well, and he's 48 points at this point, 11 races into the season behind. Now, I know that there's not going to really matter here in about, you know, in about 15 more events or so, but, you know, he's going to have a tough time getting by Kevin Harvick. I think this year he's shown that he is NASCAR champion, and he's going to defend that until the end of the year. But it's Jimmy this weekend, you know, he only led one time for 10 laps, and that was it. He didn't have a dominating factor that you would normally see out of Jimmy Johnson at a mile-and-a-half racetrack. In fact, Martin Truex led five times for 95 laps, the most of anybody in the event. So it's something that, you know, we'll just keep looking at for the rest of the year. He's already won there at Atlanta earlier this year. So we're going to have to keep watching him, see how he does. Chad Knauf has definitely made some changes this year with that team to be able to contend a little bit better than they did. And hopefully, with all hope, he won't get knocked out early in the chase like he did in 2014.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he won't. Maybe everything's going to go fine and everything. And you touched on a good point again, Stephen. You know, me and you had talked earlier. I didn't stay up to watch it because I was just tired. So I went to bed. But Jimmy was having problems earlier. And I thought, now, my goodness, I done picked this 48 in my fantasy league. But I'm going to be like Tony. I'm going to go ahead and brag. I won the week, even though I'm next to last. I won the week in our fantasy league with 308 points. So don't know how in the world I done it, but I done it.
Yeah, I did not pick Jimmy Johnson this week at all to win this. And you brought up a point where early in the event, it was within the first about 15 laps or so, he almost spun himself out and got collected out there in a very early event, and they were able to overcome that. I know a lot of it is that, you know, they had that long red flag that they were able to strategize what they were going to do until the end, but he had a close call there right at the beginning of the event where he had the potential to be pretty crinkled up with those cars coming around off turn four when he was spinning out there like he was.
Yeah, he had the golden horseshoe stuck you know where again. I think he's finally found it again. Stephen, let me see if I can get in touch with Tony since Ms. Coors Light came on earlier. I'm going to bring Todd back into the pit stop. I'm going to let you talk for a second. I'm going to see if I can get Tony to come on, and we'll go ahead and get their segment started, let you talk to them a few minutes, and we might end it a little bit earlier than mine, if that's okay, bud.
Yeah, sure. We'll bring Todd in here, and we'll have us a little discussion on what happened this weekend at Kansas and what we got coming up this weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway with the Sprint All-Star Race.
Okay, cool. And I got some stuff that I'll read off before we get Tony on, but I'm going to bring Todd back in. Todd, you're back in live. I'm going to go mute. And, Stephen, you and Todd got the floor. I'm going to see if I can get Tony to come on a little bit earlier.
Hey,
Stephen.
All right, Todd. This weekend, Kansas Motor Speedway, another mile-and-a-half racetrack out there, and Jim Johnson wins for the third time in 2015 already. Is he the guy to beat this year, or is Kevin Harvick, with his dominating fashion that he's carried over into 2014, still going to be the guy that we're going to have to look at all the way until the end of the season there at Homestead?
Well, you know, we've had Kevin up there winning quite a bit. Now we got Jimmy doing it. It seems like Chevy teams have got it down pat, that something they've got figured out with these tracks that they can just set up and they can run. Now, I didn't pick Jimmy to win either. Of course, every week, you know, I pick Junior. And then, you know, he finished third. So, I think we're going to have a really good competition contender, because I think it's going to come down to those two really duking it out here pretty soon.
Well, Chevrolet has 7 wins already this year, and Denny Hamlin and Matt Kenseth are the two that have the wins for Toyota, and Joe Logano won the first race of the year, and then Brad Keselowski won out there on the West Coast, and they're the only 2 Ford winners that we've had so far this year. You're right, Chevrolet again this year, and they've been dominating for the last 30 years or so by virtue in the Sprint Cup Series, winning the Manufacturers Championship year in and year out, and they already at this point, they 3/4 of the wins are coming from them, all with Hendrick horsepower under the hood. Hendrick this year, as in previous years, is not having a problem, but when you start going over there to the Ford camp, Penske is the only one on the Ford side that is producing any power out there. Joe Logano's won, Brad Keselowski's won. Ryan Blaney at Talladega finished out there in a top 4 position with Penske horsepower out there with the Roush Yates engines out there. But the rest of Roush as a group hasn't done so well this year. Thoughts on what's going on that side with the Roush Yates guys over there in that camp?
Yeah, I, you know, with Brad, you know, and I've watched him race, and I mean, the power that comes out of them cars is just phenomenal. I'm looking to see them, at least one of the two, be up there with everybody else that's gotten these wins. I think we're gonna see Brad pulling up there.
All right, well, this weekend we're going to come back home to Charlotte Motor Speedway, where we're going to run the Sprint All-Star race this weekend and then back it up with the Coke 600 next weekend, right on Memorial Day. Another track, Jimmy Johnson, 1.5 miles. I'm sure that he's going to be up there top contender, not only in the All-Star race but also in the Coke 600 come next weekend, because it's a track that he's won so many times at in the past. All right, so this weekend with the Sprint All-Star race, who gets the win out there? Because it's all money. There's no points on the line. So who's going to get it?
Well, I'm going to have to go with a Hendrick driver. I really think one of the Hendrick guys are going to really pull it out. I'd like to see Junior.
Yeah, Hendrick. I'm sorry, Stephen. Go ahead. I jumped in. Y'all go ahead.
I'd like to see Junior get it, but, you know, I believe it's going to be one of the Hendrick drivers that's going to get it. I really do.
He might be right, Stephen. He might be right. But I just got off the phone with Tony. Tony's going to call in here just a minute. And I hate to bunny in, gentlemen, but I want to get this out there. Stephen, do you remember the new format, or do you want me to try to get it out there for everybody to listen? You know, NASCAR changed the format this time.
I remember, I know Friday night when we run the shootout is going to be 220 lap sessions, and if I remember correctly, on Saturday night it's going to be 20-20, 20 and 10, if I remember correctly.
Something like that, but I jotted some stuff down today, and I'm going to go ahead and throw it out, and if you don't mind. The field will include race winners from the 2014 and 2015 seasons, as well as all former NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race winners and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champions who are full-time competitors, all of whom will compete for the $1 million prize award, blah, 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 prior to this change. NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race winners and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champions were eligible only if they accomplished the feat within the previous 10 seasons. I did not know that until I looked it up. In addition, the five-segment race will increase by a total of 20 laps, with the first four segments each scheduled for 25 laps as compared to 20 in recent years. With the final 10-lap shootout, the race now totals 110 laps. The 2015 NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race will have a minimum field of 20 drivers. There are 17 drivers eligible with three additional spots available. Two of those are reserved for the segment winners. From the 220-lap Sprint Showdown segments begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Friday, May 15th at Charlotte Motor Speedway. I'm trying not to confuse everybody because I confuse myself. The final spot belongs to the Sprint Fan Vote winner. Voting at www.nascar.com, Sprint Fan Vote, and the NASCAR mobile app. The winner of the Sprint Fan Vote will be announced in Victory Lane following the conclusion of the Sprint Showdown. Drivers in the 2015 NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race will compete in cars that conform to the, you know, the rules and everything. The race format will consist of, here it is, I couldn't remember, a total of five segments, like you said, four 25-lap segments with the average finish of the first four segments determining the order cars will enter pit road for a mandatory four-tire pit stop following the fourth segment. I'm getting confused already, y'all. Running order ties will be broken by finish of the fourth segment. The order of the cars returning to the track following the mandatory pit stop determines a starting order for a final winner take all 10-lap segment. I think I confused myself, Stephen, but did I search it right? I think that's it.
Well, I think at this point you need a little X's and O board like you have in football to try and figure out what's going on. And I'm not a mathematician, but I think I'm going to have to find somebody that is a mathematician to figure all that out.
I am too. And, you know, just like I was going to interview Robin Pemberton at Talladega the weekend before last, and I was going to ask him about some stuff. But I mean, I don't see how in the world they keep up with all this. And I mean, everything's going so digital. We're getting rid of officiating on pit road and everything. But yeah, I mean, they try to change stuff, and I do not condone NASCAR for changing stuff. But I mean, they try to change it for the better, and I think with them adding a few more laps. But then again, me and you have talked about they're talking about shortening some races.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR has talked about shorting some events out there, but I know a lot of people have said that there are some key events throughout the year to keep it the same length, Coke 600, Daytona 500, Southern 500, things like that. But, you know, the change out there, this is several changes in a couple of years that we've had with the Sprint All-Star Race out there. I remember back in the day, a long time ago, when it was a whole different format, when it was the Winston out there. So NASCAR changes it for the better. I think a few more laps in there probably will do us a little better out there with guys being able to run 110 laps out there. At one point, it was only something like 90 laps, and now we've increased it over the last couple of years to 110 laps. So I don't think it's too bad. It's not going to, you know, we should get this thing finished up fairly quickly out there as long as there's not a whole bunch of melees. But then again, you're racing for $1 million, so anything can happen out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Stephen. I mean, you know, it's the All-Star race. You know, it's NASCAR's All-Star night. You know, just like NFL heads a Pro Bowl. Major League Baseball heads their All-Star night in July. I mean, it's the All-Star race. No points. Put the chrome horn on them. I mean, you know, let them have at it. I mean, juggle it up a little bit. Make it interesting. I mean, you know, make it interesting for the fans and watch some good fights. I hope.
Well, I think we saw that last year between Matt Kenseth and Brad Keselowski out there after the October race, and $1 million is enough to put that chrome horn to somebody and get them out the way, that's for sure. But, you know, it's one of these events that it's good for us to have these out there at least a couple per year. I know that we run the Sprint Unlimited prior to the the Daytona 500 during speed weeks, and we come to the All-Star race, which is kind of like you're, you know, getting ready to kick off the summer out there and getting ready to get into the summer month. It's just a good event for fans to be able to just go out there and watch some racing, not drivers to have a good time out there, and not really have to worry about points or positions or anything of that nature. It's just more bragging rights than anything else to take that home at the end of the night.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree, Stephen. And Stephen, if I can, I've got Tony Wood here. I want to bring Tony in, and I know your time is limited, but can you give me a few minutes and let me go make a pit stop?
Yeah, sure, I got you.
Okay. All right, let's bring my good friend. He's got an Indianapolis 500 championship ring. He's got a Rolex 24 championship ring. He's former USAC safety director, and I mean, just so much to talk about. I don't have time to really, I don't want to say I don't have time. I mean, I can't keep up with all of you guys. So let's bring Tony B in the pit stop with Tim Spain, Stephen Wilson, and Todd Bigsby.
Let's get ready to rumble!
How's it going, Tony, fellas?
We're going good, bud, and I'm fishing I'm going to mute myself. I got to make a pit stop, and I'm going to let you and Stephen and Todd talk, and I'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Okay. Stephen Wilson, are you there?
I am here, and it's motorsports month, so not only are we talking about little in Charlotte, what's going on now there with the Coke 600 and the All-Star race, but we got the Indy 500 coming up here in about a week and a half or so, when we already ran we've had some practices out there the last couple of days, and I know that they ran some Indy Lights over the last weekend at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So what's going on up that way coming up to the Indy 500?
Well, they just got done with the Indianapolis Grand Prix. You got to believe the first lap was the most exciting lap, because in turn one they all crashed. The guys like Elio, you know, he snuck through the grass, and, you know, even though Dixon damaged his wing, he was able to come back and finish good, and it went really, really well. And now it's just time for them guys, they've got to do their rookie test, and they're testing from being a first-class tire guy and pit specialist. You get 35 sets of tires for the month. That's it. And you go pick those up and you ready them, and that's it. And when they're gone, they're gone. But, you know, they've got a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And, hey, Stephen, I wanted to tell you that my son calls me and says, Dad, what if I get another Indy 500 ring? Because he won in 2013. And I said, well, I guess that'd be kind of good. Got something to tell me? He is the engine engineer for Elmore Chevrolet for J.R. Hildebrand. And I don't know if you guys remember much about J.R. Hildebrand, but in 2011, that man led every lap except the last one, when he hit the turn four wall, and the way it turned out, I was happy because my good friend Dan Wilden won that and went on to suffer a life-taking crash in Las Vegas. But I hope my son don't beat me. I'm trying to give him information, kind of like I give you guys on fantasy. And speaking of that, Stephen, how's the wrap on the car looking from behind? Is everything okay?
Yeah, you're looking fine out there. You don't have anything flapping in the wind, that's for sure. You're pulling off away from us, so I don't have anything for you right now. I'm trying to throw everything I can at this point, but I'm not making any ground up, that's for sure.
Well, I can tell you, SpeedwayDigest.com, I love everything you put out there. It is just amazing that the things that I want to catch up on, I can go to Twitter or LinkedIn, and I get so much information. You know, I am highly motivated, and in motorsports, as good as you can get. But you're doing such a wonderful job, and I wanted to tell you that. And I try to like all of your stuff on LinkedIn and Twitter, and it's just amazing what you and Miss Anne Marie do.
Well, Tony, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. All right, so what do we got to look for in a couple of weeks here with the Indy 500? I know that a couple wrecks out there today and a car set on fire during testing today, and got a couple more tests coming up. I know the rookie test, you got that going on, as well as what do we got going on at Indianapolis Motor Speedway coming up to the Indy 500?
I can tell you, Simona DiSilvestro had quite the fire. It didn't look like much of a fire. A lot of smoke, and she continued on. As she got slower, the car engulfed. And thank God she got out and was okay. There are people putting some good speeds up. And I can tell you that I can do a very quick rundown on the speeds. It's not hard to do for their last practice session. Go ahead.
I said, well, this year we don't have anybody that's going to run the duel this year between the two events. I know that Kurt Busch has said that he wants to do it again. Tony Stewart has potential that he wants to do it. You've heard Jimmy Johnson say that he would like to do it. So there's a fair few amount of guys out there that like to do this again, but I know this year we don't have anybody that is going to do it. So when we get the 500 out there, Who's got the best speed out there that's going to win this thing come a week and a half from now?
Well, I really somewhat have to tell you that you've got to look out for Mr. Scott Dixon. He was third fast today. And Elio Castroneves was fastest today, but, we go from Castroneves to Pagano, Dixon, Wilson, Bell, Power, Kanaan, J.R. Hildebrand in the 8th spot, Marco Andretti in the 9th spot, Carlos Munoz in the 10th spot, and Ed Carpenter in the 11th spot. But one thing I want everybody to be aware of is Graham Rahal drove for Ganassi Racing when I worked there. And this young man is really coming up. He's really showing himself on these road courses, and I really look for him to be something come pole day. And with that being said, I would pretty much have to bet on either Dixon or Kanaan winning that race.
Yeah, both of them are good picks out there. I have not kept up on IndyCar very much. I typically will cover a little bit when we get to this point in the season, because I know a lot of people will want to know what's going on up there right before the Coke 600 kicks off later that night in Charlotte.
Right.
I think we got Tim back on here. But, yeah, so it's going to be a fun time next week and a half out there to see what goes on, and should be a good event out there. Chevrolet seems to be pushing some decent horsepower again this year. You got Honda out there that are still continuing to do their thing. So it's going to be a good race out there between all the competitors.
That is one thing.
If I remember.
One thing I want to bring up very quick to answer a point that you said. Out of the top 10, 8 are Chevys, 2 are Hondas.
Yeah, so Chevrolet, since they've come back into that side of the sport, has really done a phenomenal job, and they're doing the same kind of job that they're doing in NASCAR. They're just dominating wherever that they go to. But one of the things that just also came up out of Indy here not too long ago is the new aero kit that they're going to run out there for the Indy 500. Can you talk a little bit about that and what it means this year for this aero kit that they're going to have on the cars?
It quite frankly means a lot for the cars, for their handling ability, and for them to get the best out of their tires, whether they be on reds or blacks. And the drivers have more peace of mind as they go into the corners that the car is planted. And with the good aero that they put on the cars, it's very helpful. I'm very proud of the way they did the side pods in the rear wing. But let me tell you, instead of having it in 15 or 20 pieces on one wing, there are carbon fiber manufacturers that could have made that a one-piece, sloped, curved, wherever you needed it, to direct the air the same. And there are facilities to test these in to see, you know, but the parts and the pieces, there are so many on the Chevy and on the Honda as well. And the one thing that I fear is what people do not like with IndyCar racing, especially when you're at a 2.5 mile track. A piece of wing comes off, and you're down for 10 minutes before you go back green. It's not good for the fans. And, yeah, I want driver safety, and I want the cars handling well. I want them to be able to race closely, pass, all of this. But it could have been completed, excuse me, in a better fashion. Not so many parts and pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I took a look at it just briefly when IndyCar sent that out about the new aero packages or the aero kit that they're going to run on these out there. And you know, my first thought that when I saw them is it almost feels to me that the pieces and the way that they've constructed this car is more in a fashion of thinking of the safety aspect, that if pieces are manufactured in a multi-part, that will diminish the energy in the car because you're being able, it minimizes it and localizes it to a mm-hmm. specific part in the car, which also helps the driver in the fact that they're so tightly confined in those cockpits that
they are.
You know, safer barriers have came up such a long way in all these years out there, but you know, Indy cars are not like a stock car where they're fully enclosed. You know, these drivers are open to lots of things that can happen. And my first thought, like I said, was this was done, I feel, almost like in a safety fashion, so that it localizes the energy impact into the car, allowing it to disperse the energy a little bit better, allowing parts to break off. It's not necessarily the safest thing when you've got other drivers out there, parts and pieces flying around, potential for it to go over the catch fence. But, you know, I can understand it in one aspect out there. But, you know, it's, you know, IndyCar is like NASCAR and every other motorsports out there, but they try and do the things in the name of safety for not only the drivers but everybody else around them, from the fans in the stands to the people on the pit lane, that, you know, it's a safety matter, I believe, a lot of times. And we'll have to see how it happens. And I think, you know, and not to cut everybody off, but I think I got Tim back on here also.
Yeah, well, one thing I want to add is you are correct, and there are several pieces, and each piece lays in a certain fashion with an air break with another piece, and each of those pieces regulate the air to a certain place, whether it be on a side pod, towards the monocoque, the main chassis, or into the rear wing. And they accomplish a lot with a little. We were never allowed to talk about it when I worked for Ganassi, but we had a place we went and we ran, and that's all we did. And you would think it was crazy. You'd spend 15 hours running back and forth indoors over a mile, and all you do would be change a wicker, tighten it just an ounce or this or that, and they search and they find the best way to make them fast. And I'm going to tell you what, I look for a new track record. You heard it here first. A new track record for the Indianapolis 500 in 2015. What do you think about that, Timmy D?
Yeah, I'm just sitting back listening. Tony, very great, just great stories there. And I know Stephen Wilson, his time is limited, and Tony and Todd, we're sorry we rode over into y'all's thing, everything open wheel. But Stephen, I know you got to go, but do you want to break the story about Will Kimmel right fast if you got time, bud?
Yeah, I'll jump this out real quick. Will Kimmel, ARCA Racing, will attempt the Quaker Stake 400 at Kentucky in July. So that's going to be something new for him. He's ran a couple Xfinity races last year with TriStar Motorsports, and this will be his first attempt in a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series car with Go Green Racing.
Yeah. And I had sent Bill a text earlier because, you know, every time me and Suzanne go to the track, Bill always blames, you know, Will has, if he didn't have no bad luck, he wouldn't have no luck at all. Well, I sent Bill a text earlier. I said, Bill, I promise you, Suzanne will be nowhere near Kentucky Speedway when he makes his attempt for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. But anyway, yeah, Stephen, thank you very much for being my co-host. And if you want to throw it there where everybody can follow you at on social media and your website and everything, that you do a really great job of covering our sport of NASCAR. Stephen, you got the floor above just a minute before we got to get it.
Yeah, sure. Everybody can follow us, can read everything we got going on at SpeedwayDigest.com and on Twitter at SpeedwayDigest.
Hallelujah.
Stephen, thank you very much. We'll talk at you next week if I don't talk to you before. And thank you again for being a good co-host, bud. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
So, sounds good. Todd, Tony, Tim, appreciate everything. Y'all guys have fun, and I'll talk to y'all next week.
All right, brother. God bless.
Amen for it, brother. Okay, y'all, that was my good friend, Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com, my co-host. And Tony and Todd, I'm sorry we rolled over into y'all's segment, but y'all got the floor. Let's bring Todd on.
Right on. I want
to hear him talk. Yeah, Stephen and Tony were talking about the Indianapolis 500 and people that's not doing double duties this time as far as the 500 and 600 there at Charlotte. Todd, you and Tony got the floor, and I'm going to step on the side.
Hiya, Mr. Tony.
I'm pretty good. I've been up your way about three times in the last week and a half. Kind of love New York, but I'll tell you, paying them tolls, I think it's an idea you got to slow down. And it's not like making a pit stop. But other than that, things are good, and the Indianapolis 500 is going to happen, man. And I can also tell you that I have been contacted by many people to be a crew member for one gentleman that has won the last two little 500s would like me to work for him. And let me tell you, if you've never seen 33 sprint cars that are outlaw sprint cars, they're the only thing that they don't care what motor you put in it, no wing, and the right rear has got to be the same size. They start 33 sprint cars on a quarter mile high bank asphalt track for 500 miles. You must make two pit stops, one at each 250 lap session, and they are push start. None of them have starters. And let me tell you, when they throw the checker or the green flag, and on lap two, they're already talking on the radio what they're going to do about this lap traffic. But let me tell you, it's exciting, and they do live pit stops, and they to make it into the little 500, you have got to run faster than 11.4 second lap.
Wow. Well, like you said, you know, there's going to be a new track record. So, you know, I'm going to watch it so I can see that track record be broke.
You know, it will be broke. And the track record will probably be broke. The little 500 as well. And there's great things going on. Sprint car racing is happening right and left. They've had some good races at Eldora. And USAC is back from being out in Nebraska, and they got a big show at Gas City Friday night, and you know, we just got a lot going on, and a lot of good things, and hopefully you can get down and go to some of these races.
Yeah, we just recently went to three dirt tracks, and out of the three, there's one that we'll never go back to again, which is our local dirt track. I will travel 2 hours to go watch a good race.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, we have a series out here with trucks. And, of course, they're not like the Sprint Cup trucks. They are dirt trucks. And Broome Tioga Track in Lyle, New York, started doing the truck racing up there because everybody else was dropping it. And, unfortunately, we had a gentleman get killed in a truck up there. So prayers go out to his family and to the track because, you know, They were the ones that were putting it on. So.
Yeah, it's very good.
I'm definitely looking forward to a couple more weeks and big race that me and Christy are going to with Mr. Chef James Lupo. We are going to Dover.
General, would you like me to jump in and talk a little bit about the NASCAR weekend coming up? That's up to y'all.
There is a NASCAR weekend coming up, brother. They got it off.
No.
Will be ready.
No, we've got the All-Star race this weekend, Tony Short.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got the All-Star racing. We got the Cup going to Let me just start a little bit right here. The NASCAR Tampa Royal Truck Series race at 5:15 will be at Charlotte Motor Speedway in NASCAR. The North Carolina Education Lottery. Here's the entry list. Just throw a little bit out there. Some of the notables that's going to be in the race. Casey Kane is going to be driving in the number 00 Haas Automation Chevy. Dale Earnhardt Jr. Joe Nemechek is going to be in there. Brad Keselowski is going to be in the truck race there at Charlotte. Brad will be driving the Cooper Standard Career for Veterans Ford, and James Buescher is going to be driving the Boy Scouts of America for Bob Newberry. And just throw this out there, the Xfinity Series is going to be at Iowa Sunday, 5:17. Just throw some notable entries out there looking at the entry list. Driving the number 29 U.S. Senior Toyota for Robbie Benton is going to be Kenny Wallace. And driving the number 33, Tim Well Menards Chevrolet for Richard Chitter is going to be Brennan Jones. And Barcia is going to be back out there. Ben Rose is going to be back out there. Yeah, we got a little bit going on, bud.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Did either one of you hear the news? Who's driving the number 5 car?
Where is Todd?
That would be. Give me a second. I got to rattle my brain. It's on the top of my head. I just had it in my head. Oh man! Now you just got me.
In the truck series, Todd, there, Charlotte.
No, in the number 5 Casey Kane car. Well, I can't say. They were practicing pit stops and getting ready for the race. I believe it's going to be for this weekend, and I think that's why Casey Kane is in the 00.
Okay, now Kane's in the 00 for Dale Earnhardt Jr. The Haas Automation Chevrolet. The 05 is going to be John West Townley in the Zaxby's Chevrolet in the Tampa World Truck Series.
This here, from what I had seen on Facebook, was just the number 5 car. It was, you know, all in primer.
Okay, I have to do a little research on that, Tom. But if I can, gentlemen, can I read out the weekend's event here? Sprint All-Star Weekend Schedule Events here at Charlotte Motor Speedway on Friday, 5:15 all times. The Eastern Sprint Showdown qualifying will be at 4:15 p.m. Fox Sports 1 has your coverage. The Camping World Truck Series qualifying on Friday also will be at 5:45 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And then Friday evening, Camping World Truck Series, North Carolina Education Lottery 200 will be approximately 8:30 p.m. MRN has your radio. Fox Sports 1 has your TV. Green Flag will be at Green Flag will be approximately 8:49. Saturday, Sprint All-Star Race qualifying will be at 7:10 p.m. MRN has your radio. Fox Sports 1 has your TV. In the Sprint All-Star Race at 9 p.m., MRN has your radio, and Fox Sports 1 has your TV coverage. Tony B., you want to throw out there where everybody can follow you at on Facebook, social media, and your website. You got the floor, bud.
Yeah, anybody out there that would like to follow me is TonyBaginski1 at Twitter, TonyBaginski1 on Facebook, and TonyBaginski on LinkedIn, and I'd be more than happy to take you as friends and get you the information as quickly as I can, and things are going good. It's live, love, race time, and going to be bringing out new products from Brace Yourself to help save some of these drivers, and really look forward to our next show with Tim Stephen, Suzanne, and Mr. Todd Bixby. And it's been great doing this one, and thank you all.
You're welcome, bud. We have a blast every week. Time, throw out there where everybody can follow you out on social media. Bud, you got the floor.
You can follow me on Facebook, Todd Bixby. And pretty much anybody can look me up if they want to keep up and follow, because I do share a lot of the NASCAR racing news. Otherwise, they can catch us here on the show.
Sounds good, bud. And I almost forgot, y'all, before I let y'all go, the NASCAR Xfinity Series 3M250 at Iowa Speedway will be Sunday, May 17th. MRN has your radio at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Fox Sports 1 has your TV coverage also. So, any last thoughts, gentlemen, before we leave the air here live from Talladega? Okay. I think everybody's went off to the side. So, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Pit Stop. Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson live from Talladega, Alabama. Catch you on the flip side next week. The number to call in next week is 215-383-3681. We'll get you caught up on everything from the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Good night from Talladega, Alabama.
Well,